Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Coming as we have to the last few verses of Romans chapter 3, we have learned that the biblical doctrine of justification by faith, well, by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, neutralizes all boasting as well as discrimination and antinomianism, that is, lawlessness. We've covered the verses that deal with boasting, which are verses 27 and 28. And I read again Romans 3:27, and I think I'll read it this time from the New American Standard, which says, "Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." And it just simply boils down to this. Any concept of justification by works is grounded in what a person, an individual, is or does. But a justification which is grounded in grace and obtained only by faith is trust and commitment to another, not to myself. That's the difference. Supposed justification by works looks to man for the acquiring of justification, but justification by grace through faith looks to God to acquire this needed justification. Works are self-congratulatory, but grace through faith is self-renouncing. It is saying, I cannot do it by myself. I must rely upon another. Someone else must do it for me. Salvation is charity. It is benevolence. I must humble myself and receive from another that which I cannot do for myself. That's biblical justification. Any other kind is not only not biblical, but it is damning, because it will not save, it will not cleanse, it will not take you to heaven. So, in short, works look to what we are, faith looks to who God is and what God does. So, therefore, there is no boasting in a biblical doctrine of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But not only is there no boasting, but we go on to learn in verses 29 and 30 that there is no discrimination. And I read in verse 29, "Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith." Or we could read that from the New American Standard, a more modern translation, which says, "If indeed God is one, and he will justify the circumcised by faith," oh, I read verse 30 first, I need to start with verse 29, "or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, if indeed God is one. And he will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith." And this emphasizes the non-discriminatory aspects of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Now the question that is raised here is the following. Is he the God of the Jews only? That is he, Jehovah, the God of the Bible, the God of the Jews only? Now, why would anyone ask a question like that? Well, because that's the way Jehovah was perceived by many of the peoples of the world who viewed gods as being nationalistic. And so Egypt had their god or gods, and Babylon had their gods, and the various Canaanite nations had their particular gods, and Tyre had theirs, and so forth and so on, and the Jews' God is called Jehovah. And the question is he, Jehovah, the God of the Bible, the God of the Jews only? And the answer is absolutely not. And what we are learning here is that the doctrine of justification, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, removes the Jewish claim to a favored position, because it demonstrates that God is as much the God of Gentiles as he is of Jews. Now, this was a bitter blow to the partisan nationalistic Jews who viewed Jehovah as their particular God and considered that God played favorites and had favored Israel over all the other nations. And the fact of the matter is that before Christ came, that is entirely true. That is exactly what took place from the days of Abraham onward until the coming of Christ. God did discriminate in favor of the Jews and against the other nations of the world. Now, there are a lot of people who don't like to hear me say that, or don't like to hear that being said, whether it's by me or by anybody else. I've heard a lot of people protest and say, no, that's not true. But I insist that a dispassionate study of the Old Testament scriptures makes it abundantly clear that that is true. I don't know what other conclusion you can draw. In fact, the New Testament scriptures state as much, that the Jews were the favored people of God, but with the coming of Christ, all that was swept aside. Yes, the Jews were favored. In fact, Paul is going to deal with that later on in the book of Romans. Maybe we'll just move ahead here to chapter 9. I'm looking at chapter 9. I guess that's a good place to begin. For I could wish, Paul said in Romans 9:3, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Now, is that true or is that not? Well, obviously it is. What does Paul say here of his brethren, his kinsmen, according to the flesh? He says, to them pertains the adoption. That is, they were adopted by God as God's special people. To them obtains the glory. That is, God revealed himself in glory to them in a way that he didn't reveal himself to others, and God made Israel part of his own glory. To whom pertain the covenants, which is true. The old covenant that God made with Moses was made with the nation of Israel and nobody else. Nobody else. No question about that. And the giving of the law. And again, no question about that. The law that was given by God through Moses at Sinai was given to the nation of Israel, the same ones that the covenants were made with. And the service of God. Again, you can't argue with that. He's talking, of course, about the service of the temple, the tabernacle, the Levitical priesthood, the sacrifices, this prescribed service of God. Who was that given to? It was given to Israel, nobody else. It was their religion. It was their domain. It was their advantage. And the promises, it goes on to say here, promises were made to them that were not made to other peoples. Whose are the fathers? That means the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They belong to the nation of Israel, not to others. How many other nations could claim Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as their fathers? How many others, therefore, could claim the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as their own? And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. That's the capstone of it all. When God sent his Messiah, the Christ, he sent him in the flesh to the nation of Israel. Jesus is, I said is, not was, Jesus is a Jew. Now, none of these facts can be disputed. They are biblically indisputable. So I wouldn't expect anyone to argue with them, though I actually have heard people try to argue against them and around them at times. But these facts are indisputable. Now, some will say, yes, but God made a way whereby Gentiles could come into these covenants, come into these promises, come into these blessings, come into the service of God, inherit the blessings that were made to the Jewish forefathers, the patriarchs, and so forth and so on. And, of course, that is true. But even stating that is ignoring the obvious. All of these blessings came to the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob automatically, simply by being born into the right nation. But the other nations of the earth had to come into them by a much more difficult route. They could do it, but they had to remove themselves from their land, come to the land of Israel if they were going to worship God, if they were going to enter into the service of God. That was not a universal service. The worship of Jehovah God couldn't take place at any old location. It could only take place in the prescribed location, which eventually became Jerusalem, and no place else could the sacrifices be made. No place else could the priest function. No place else could the service of God be carried out. It had to be carried out there. You had to be a Jew in order to participate in that. There was a court of the Gentiles, but there was always this demarcation. Gentiles come this far, no farther. Jews can come closer. There was always this distinction. There was always this difference. There was always this, and here I come back to this word again, discrimination, and God did the discriminating. Now, folks, that's an undeniable fact. Like it or not, it is the truth. God discriminated in favor of the nation of Israel, and it was God himself who carried out this discrimination for hundreds of years. But when Christ came and ushered in the new covenant, setting aside the old covenant that God made with the nation of Israel through Moses, all that changed. And now suddenly, there is no advantage to being a Jew. None whatsoever. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing he is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Men are justified in precisely the same way. Now, some would say, well, that's always been true. It's always been true that God is truly the God of all people, Jew and Gentile. Yes, that is true. And it's also always true that that justification has always been by faith, not by circumcision. Yes, that's true. But could anybody in the Old Testament have known that? Why did Gentiles who wanted to receive the blessings of the Jewish God come into the covenant people of God by way of circumcision? If it didn't make any difference. It did. Until Christ came and set circumcision aside and said, now there's no difference. So now, in justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, under the terms of the new covenant, there is no discrimination. Thank God for that. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.